Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Now I want them against all odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, part of Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a delightful Tuesday morning in New York City. Yes, spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Well, that's not all spaghetti's doing. We'll get to that in a second. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, and degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
What a win. 23-16. The Cowboys coming to Gotham and beat the Giants. It's the first time I have ever seen it live. I think I was 0 for 5 before that, seeing the Giants Cowboys, including when that AT&T Stadium opened up on the Sunday night. Giants won on a last second field goal. But that's all behind us. Big win. Joe Buck mentions me during the halftime interview with my cousin Jimmy. Now everybody knows I have a gambling problem. Oh, well, it was just a matter of time. But the big news, Eddie Spaghetti and I had a heads-up bet. The loser, I root for the Cowboys. He roots for the Giants. The loser, in honor of the big tuna, Bill Parcells, who coached both teams, would wear a tuna on his or her head. Here we go, Spaghetti. Did you do it? Did you go to the market?
I was thinking about catching this one myself, but I said, you know what? The best fish you can get in the world is at usually the Ralph's supermarket.
That's true.
Went over to Ralph's, got a very, very nice piece of some ahi tuna right here. Oh my God. I'm the lucky one. I get to eat this thing after.
You're going to eat it?
Oh yeah. I'll sear this bad boy right after. I have a nice, nutritious meal. I'm just giving a quick pat because I don't need this dripping on my clothes here.
And this is you don't? Really? Okay, that's part of it. That was like the fine nice, print there.
You know what? Right. It's a heat wave. It feels cool in my head. Like I'm
let's see how attached you are to it after an hour. If you actually want to eat it, or if you want to just just dive into a dumpster ahead of time. Well, you're looking good, Eddie. I will say a lot of vitriol. You saw Parley Kid back and forth on the text. It was looking bad. I couldn't even enjoy the game. Spaghetti was complaining about calls, and I'm complaining about calls. And I mean, you would have thought if you listen to Spaghetti, the Giants should have been up 28-3 at half. What happened there?
If anything, the 23-16 score might have been could have been a lot worse for the G-men. Am I right when I say that? I feel like Dallas controlled a good portion of that game. Give Daniel Jones credit. If it wasn't for him and his legs, the Giants might have lost that game by 30 last night. Dallas's defense, which we talked about, Sal, one of the top. What will we say now? 5 in the league. It might be top 2, might be top 3. This defense is fantastic. They're winning games with Cooper Rush, winning games without really just CeeDee Lamb after big drop, though, responded in a big way. That might be
speaking
good.
Speaking of big drops, I thought they should drop him at halftime. I'm like, forget about like fantasy teams dropping. I'm like, maybe the Cowboys should cut him. He's not making any big plays, but I think he ended up with a respectable number. So they targeted him enough, that's for sure.
Respectable, and our pal Zeke had a very respectable game, regardless of what Harry was saying about him. Called him an antique, called him a freak, called him whatever he called him. And he had a pretty solid game, 15 carries, 73 yards, kind of matched Barkley. And we won't even talk about what Pollard did to the Giants defense last night.
So, Harry, jump in there, and then we'll circle back to Spaghetti, and it'll be a nice little round table.
First,
here.
I give Eddie a lot of credit in the text chain last night. Eddie, you stuck to your guns. I give you credit for that, for all Sal's one-liners coming at you, flying at me, flying at you. You stuck to your guns, Eddie. And if it
good
wasn't
for you,
for,
Eddie.
If it wasn't for the Eddie Dallas
really
defensive line,
off. Look at you.
Would have pulled this game off, but. But still, Darren, respectable. I think that's the word I would use. Zeke had a respectful game where he did have 73 rushing yards, 2 receiving yards. The over-under I had was under 73.5. He had 75. Now, that 27-yard run where it was 3rd and 15, great call by Kellen Moore. I'll give him credit. I don't give him credit. That was a great call. Surprised the Giants. They were stacked up on the right side. Zeke goes left, didn't get touched for 20 yards. So take that away. Zeke has 48 yards and a 1 yard touchdown.
Let's just take that away from every running back in the league.
Let's take Barkley's total away. He averaged 3 yards a carry if you take his big run away. What else do you want to take away, Harry? Any Daniel Jones?
But on that run by Barkley, he broke two tackles to break free and then ran for the touchdown.
Harry's got a very specific outlook on what is counts.
Pollard, though, like Darren said, he runs hard. He's quick. He's excellent. He should get even more carries than what Zeke gets.
Harry, don't worry about it. They're figuring it out. It's okay. The difference is the Cowboys don't need Zeke. We get it. We ate a terrible contract. He is what he is. His yards per carry goes down every single year. We got the 1-2 punch with Pollard. Zeke doesn't have to be great. Saquon has to be great for this Giants team to do well. So that's the difference. But take away, Harry's right. Take away the 24 pressures on Jones, and the Giants are right in that game. Take away all of it.
And like Harry said, Eddie stuck to his guns. Harry didn't stick to his guns because I'm pretty sure he said he would have tuna on his head too today if the Giants lost.
He does. I'm pretty sure he said that.
I didn't say that.
Wait, he doesn't have tuna? Oh, that's his actual head. Okay. Yeah, you don't have tuna on it. Wow. All right, Eddie, back to you. I want to go through some of these texts. I do appreciate it because Eddie could have bailed. He could have said, I said, Eddie, could do this on one podcast. We have two today. We have -3. I'm sorry. We have extra points and we have against all odds. He's like, I'm a man and I'm going to wear the tuna on my head for both podcasts. So good for you, Eddie. But you were saying, I don't care if the Giants lose to the freaking Bears next week. I want this game. That's fine. We were going back and forth between the refs, bad calls. I don't want them to be in the show. That's okay. Go ahead. Yeah. What were we going to say?
I was just going to say, I said the refs were bad across the board. Like I, my rule of thumb in text is that.
Not at first. I think it was a lot of. All right.
I don't initiate any trash talk. I wait and I reciprocate. And you definitely started. And then I just said, I thought the refs were miserable for the Cowboys too. I just don't want the refs to be a part of the show. I think it's one thing we could all agree on. I mean, the call, the Darnay Holmes, the lack of a call, it's bad. Like but same thing with like when I forgot which receiver was in the Giants. They tried to throw the ball back to the referee. And then one guy swatted it. Like, why is that a rule in the NFL? It's kind of ridiculous. But like Sterling Shepard coming off the bench, that's a rule. Apparently, like there were a lot of calls that like the refs just wanted to be part of the game. So I was pretty fair about that across the board. I said I did not want them part of this game.
Eddie, I don't think I started. I'm looking back. Although we were, to be fair, we were on three text chains trash talking between the Megans and Hench and Damashek and this one holding on the Pollard run. I think that's the first one I responded to. And then I'm like, Lamb, damn Lamb. We 13 points would have won this game. Okay, that was wrong. Lots of boys fans here. Coaching has been fine. Refs haven't. Three quarters of the drives were in your territory. You guys won't score a touchdown. Drops on your guys. We can't control the refs. That should be six. There was a lot. I don't know what to do. I felt like we held you to 112 yards in the first half. Nobody gave the Cowboys defense credit.
I mean, there was the blocked field goal, which is a great play with the defense, but the two of the first three drives, the one punt, the blocked field goal, and a field goal, the Giants got down in your territory. I agree with what Paul A. Kidd said. Like, the Giants should have lost the game by 30-plus points, but they literally had the ball and the chance to go and take the lead or win the game if it wasn't for, bad MetLife turf that David Sills fell down and Sterling Shepard had a non-contact injury in the same play. Mm. So that's my, if you're a Cowboys fan, if you're happy, okay. But again, Daniel Jones running for his life. He had the most pressures in like the last two seasons in the NFL,
and he's throwing the ball
He's throwing the ball to Richie James and David Sills. So if you're happy about this, like great, like hats off or tuna off to you. But I would not go away from the game. You knew who the
Giants receivers were going into this game.
They still win because confident. Of Cooper Rush. Right. I thought they were still in the game because of Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush had a great game.
And you said he was one of the worst backups in the league. You have to back off that a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's not great. He's not going to win MVP. Although, let me check those odds. The Caesars have odds for MVP. No, there's no quarterback controversy, anything like that. But he was as good as about 25 quarterbacks I saw this weekend, right?
Absolutely, he was.
Yeah.
And I do think the Cowboys – with Rush and a lot of coaching staffs do, they game plan better with the backup quarterback. They devise a game plan that fits what he can do, right? Compared to maybe saying, well, Dak, the whole playbook is open. with Cooper Rush, obviously maybe it's a little scaled down, and they kind of focus on what he can do best. And he was more than a game manager though last night, Sal. He made some big passes.
Darren, 21 of 31. The pass to Lamb was on the money. I mean, he was.
You call him a manager, Harry. You're another dirtbag. Oh, he's a manager.
He was. He's so far this season. He's looked better than Dak when Dak was in.
All right, let's not get so far this season. Dak played like a half of football.
Right,
but Cooper, we could have had 30 points. We could have had 30 points. You couldn't move the ball against probably the best defense. See, it's a defensive league. Like, nobody wants to say it so far through 3 weeks. It's a defensive league. Yep. Nobody's looked great in the first two out of 3 weeks. Tell me one offensive player has looked great in two out of the 3 weeks. Lamar Jackson, maybe?
And him hooking up with Andrews has been fantastic.
That's it, though. I mean, you should be able to name 20 players right now, and you could name two. That's weird. 12 quarterback hits, 3 sacks for DeMarcus Lawrence, Donovan Wilson, Darnell Armstrong. They're all in there. Yeah. I was furious, Parley Kid. I don't mind the play call, but it is what it is on 3rd and 7 with 2 minutes left and no timeouts for the Giants. You know, it's play action. You're rolling right. You hit that tight end, and he's got to stay in bounds, right? So he either gets the 7 yards or he stays in bounds. Ferguson goes out of bounds. Disgusted me. I was like, oh, my God. We could pin them back inside their 15 with 1:10 left and no timeouts. And now we gave him a breath of, we gave him some life there.
Yeah, we certainly did. I don't know. You know, it's kind of a weird, situation for Ferguson because he's trying to get that first down to ice the game, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like leaps a player and then gets carried.
It's so much more important than getting the first down there. Absolutely. It just is.
But if that's the case, then they should have just run the ball, right?
Yeah. Well, I think if it's a wide open field down there, you got to get, you make sure it's complete. But we're right in the middle there. It was terrible.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a tough play. I'm not going to blame the kid too much. I mean, I actually had more of a problem with the way the Cowboys handled it. Almost worked out for them. But I had more of a problem with the way they handled the end of the first half, where I thought they were almost giving the Giants an opportunity to get points.
McCarthy is like, hey, I may not have this opportunity to screw up at the end of the game. I might as well take it at the end of the half here. I'm calling timeouts that the Giants should have been calling. And I guess in a way it resulted in a missed field goal attempt for the Cowboys. So McCarthy can't take too much crap, but I think he lucked into that. What were you throwing there, Spaghetti? Did you want them to call timeouts there, the Giants?
That was the one coaching snafu that Daboll's made so far. I mean, he definitely mismanaged the clock there. The Giants have their problem. Like, you shouldn't be playing for the field goal in that scenario when your drives have been stalling in, like, near the red zone. That was their problem. They, you know, the past two games, too, even, like, they've just been settling for field goals because they have, you know, one of the best kickers in the league. And that's the reason why partially why they lost this game. So that was terrible job by Daboll. But, the Giants are still in this. They were in the game at half, and they're in the game at the end of the game, too. Like, they still had a chance to win it despite all the quarterback pressures. And, you know, it's coming out now. They only had 10 men on the field when Zeke scored his touchdown. Like, you cannot let that stuff happen in the NFL. So there's, I mean, look, the Giants are a majorly flawed team, but it's frustrating to almost have a game like that and win it because they needed a primetime win.
You're fine. You're fine. You're 2-1. It's weird. Either the Giants or Bears are going to be 3-1 next week.
That's the thing, right? You look at the schedule, right? They have I think after that Bears game, it's, you know, they have back to back tough ones, but they're, you know,
Packers.
We said this. You look at the schedule. The Giants at 8 wins. Yeah, it's like a lot of winnable games on their schedule. Really, I guess Bears really too. Is. I'm going to lose that one. All right, Harry. Congratulations to you. You did get us out of the hole a tiny bit with Barkley first touchdown plus 310. So what does that mean? We net 0.1 units.
Right. 0.1 units. Pretty good. Right.
So we're down 27.9.
Points.
We still had to wait till the second half to get there, though.
I know
that was a weird one. Very weird. For sure. All right, I do want to look into our extra points arcade winners. Pick'em contest. Samuel Johnson, 13, right? Good job by you. $203.
13?
Prop quiz. Yeah, 13.
Wow.
I guess it was 13, 2-1, right? Nice job.
Good job.
Matt Maraconda wins the prop quiz with 7, right? Network-wide, Megan Galley and Martin Weiss, both 11-3-1. Me, Dave, Megan Conley, Bry, Eddie, Will Blackman, 6-8-1. Will Blackman takes spaghetti. Will Blackman takes his big pick on Lemon Pepper was the Lions to win outright, and he took the Vikings. We have to teach him how to do this. He took the Vikings on the graphic. So, Piacenti, Parlay Kid, Hench, 8-6-1. Harry, 7-7-1. But Michael, what is Martin? 30-13-1? No. Better than that, right?
He is 31-13-1.
That's pretty good.
Amazing.
We're never going to hear that. Never going to hear that.
Pace to shatter. Yeah, he's on pace to shatter my 37 games over 500 from last year.
He is. But he made an embarrassing video where he picked the Giants yesterday. Let's not forget that. Okay. So there you go. We're going to take a quick break. And there we're going to talk about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, one of our baseball picks, and some Pro Bowl suggestions when we return.
All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? It's the perks. It's the only sports betting app with Caesars Rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which could use towards game tickets, bonuses, experience, free stays at iconic Caesars destinations, and more. And your very first bet? Check this out, Harry. It's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged National Responsible Gaming Disclaimer. Yes, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit Maryland Gambling, mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXOntario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're back. Eddie Spaghetti is wearing a tuna on his head. I have to say, I'm very proud of him. He's living up to this. Someone said it should be tuna fish. That would have been terrible, right? Eddie, could you frame yourself a little better?
Yes, Charles. I'm
wondering. Okay. Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. There's a tuna. Right there.
Yeah, it looks like he has a tiara on his head now.
It's great.
Yeah, it's real. It's kind of sweet. Tiara. Eddie, how much was that tuna?
This tuna is, it was $9 and change, which is, you should never buy. I have to say, like, for those trying, like, who are hungry, who are listening to this, do not go to your grocery store and get sushi. It may kill you.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's bad.
Why? Because it's too cheap, you're saying?
Jada did a story with the sushi restaurant a week ago, and I learned some stuff that I'm telling you guys, I'm not eating fish at most places anymore. Just heard some really nasty stuff, like pumping like carbon the dioxide and the color and stuff.
Monoxide's even worse.
Dioxide, like just bad stuff all around. How long they freeze it when they ship it, like just stay away, guys. It's my PSA to you.
Well, is Jada willing to do a video where she eats the tuna off your head and does like a review?
That's a great question. I'm going to text right now.
She's around, that would be terrific. Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Riverboat Casino, the captain of the Riverboat Casino reached out, wants to know what was the most embarrassing moment of week 3? Was it the Miami Dolphins butt punt 3-1 odds? Was it Michael Irvin forgetting his glasses for the pregame show 5-1 odds? Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey having a meltdown in the booth. That was a good one. 7-1 odds. Or Harry being late for the show yesterday and then singing, in quotes, an anti-Zeke Elliott ditty 10-1 odds. Or the field at Eve and Bry. Start us off here. Most embarrassing moment.
Yeah, is it weird? Like, maybe the fact that I can't remember anything that happened 2 days ago and mine's not working. But, you know, it's funny. I really wanted to do Mac Jones, right? The Mac Jones meme to me was hysterical. Especially when you figure out at the end of the day it was a high ankle sprain. Like, his life is not going to be over, it doesn't seem like. Yeah. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. In that moment, he probably thought season was over. But I'm going to go with Jimmy G. You know, his performance the other night, losing 11-10, but that safety that he had stepping out of the end zone, you know, it's funny because the Orlovsky running out of bounds, I know they talked about this probably on ESPN, but Orlovsky running out of bounds will always be memorialized as like one of the funniest plays ever in the history. This obviously doesn't compare to that, but in terms of being embarrassed of stepping out of bounds on a safety, when you lose that game 11-10, I think we'll remember that one. So I'm going to give Jimmy G most.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I can't tell if it's a Jimmy genius move or not, but stepping out of the end zone saved them 4 points because he threw a pick six.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he knew he was out of the end zone or not, if it was like a free play the other way or what, but there you go. All right. Parlay Kid, most embarrassing moment.
This is an easy
one
for me, Sal. The Parlay Kid travels, you know, gets up at 5 a.m, travels from upstate New York to make the podcast at an early time yesterday. Our buddy Harry, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found, right. Sal. Had no idea we were doing an early podcast. I don't know what's happened to this guy over the last week. And then has the gall to come on and sing. Calls it singing. If that was singing, then I'm Pavarotti, Sal. I mean, am I right? Give me a break. Singing about Zeke. Right, so say about that.
It's not singing. It's reading, and it's painfully reading words that he wrote down. So right. I don't know
and
how
Brian
I'm singing
says,
about
like
it.
Leaping Lanny Poffo, then he comes up with that garbage, loses on that pick of Zeke saying how terrible he was. Zeke has a pretty solid game, scores a touchdown.
Game tying touchdown, nifty move,
touchdown when the Giants had 10 players on the field.
Pretty tough yard there, Harry.
That's a good fantasy game from Zeke last night. If you have him on your fantasy team,
no one starts him.
I think it was a total embarrassment by Harry. I wanted a Zeke apology on the podcast today. I wonder if I'm going to get that. No. Yeah. So to me, Sal, that's the you add it up. Being late.
Yes.
And singing and then losing the bet that you sung about that you bring in your alter ego, which, by the way, I do like H-Dog. That was some funny stuff. I do like H-Dog is certainly much cooler than the real Harry. Can we all admit that?
Bar is low, but
certainly see that more. But yes, that was the most embarrassing moment of the week. And you know,
I'm with you, Parley Kid.
Absolutely.
I have nothing really to add. That was my answer except that Harry doesn't really get embarrassed. I mean, this is a guy who asked Daughtry to sign his chest a few days ago. So embarrassing for others to on the outside looking in. Yes, that's embarrassing. I don't think Harry gets embarrassed, but that's also
when did we actually say pick? We were going 3 hours early taping? I don't recall that ever. When was that discussed?
So many times. I feel like it was at least
in the email. It was definitely in the email I sent the night before.
That's
right.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay, so that answers your question. That's it. You had a 14-hour head start. Yeah.
You know,
okay.
After so many emails, you don't check the time.
Put it in skywriting, Harry. How do we need to communicate this to you? I have no idea. But go ahead, Harry. What's your answer for this?
Look, I'm gonna. No, I don't know. Who cares?
I'll kill Harry's answer.
I was just gonna say the butt fumble. Not embarrassing as the butt punt. Not as embarrassing as the butt fumble with Sanchez. But it was crazy that with a 1:30 to go in the fourth, up four to make that down to two. At Morstead, you don't have a ton of room here, man. His head's down the whole time, takes his strides as if he was punting from the 50, and just drills it into his teammates' buttocks. It was just, and the same stage was set for that to be possibly the worst of all time because Bill's down two, get the ball back with 1.5 to go, but didn't work out that way. Miami's defense rose to the occasion, but I'm going to go butt punt.
I got the punters weighing in. He said, at least I showed up to the game on time. So goes, and also the Dolphins won. H-Dog lost. So that's that. All right. There you go. Thanks to the captain of the Riverboat Casino. Hey, the Pro Bowl is having an overhaul. Thank God. Right. Yeah. Is anyone going to miss this Pro Bowl? Well, they're not even tackling each other anymore. And I think people are betting on it still and they're getting pissed off. And that's what happens. But they're not tackling. You can't blitz. You haven't been able to blitz in a while. And it's it doesn't even really resemble a game. So what they're doing now is flag football and our partners. The Manning brothers are now overseeing the skills competition. Now, I don't know how much input we're going to have and which skills should be evaluated, but I imagine it's going to be a punt, pass, and kick competition, basically, Parley Kid, and then maybe a couple of fun things where, I don't know, the passing is hitting moving targets and stuff like that. But I have a bunch of ideas of how this could be better, and I'm going to get in their ear. Yeah. I am. I'll talk to Cooper and maybe he'll relay it to Peyton and Eli. I don't know how it's going to get there, but I will. Touchdown dance should be evaluated, I think, but not necessarily the dance. I think the quickest to stop his dance after realizing there's a flag on the play. I think this is a very important skill to have. I really do. Because do you stop mid dance? What do? I think you have to look cool by not looking cool. So I would like to know who could do this, who could stop, improvise, stop on a dime in the middle of his touchdown dance. Parley Kid, what do you have?
Look, I like the skills idea. I'm not a huge fan of the flag football game. I mean, geez, you see what happened to Shepard last night, just running,
Right.
He could be done for his career as far as we know. So I don't know how many owners and GMs are thrilled about that, but I do like the skills competition. Sal, but I think they should get the coaches involved in the skills competition, but more mentally skilled, right? Let's come up with scenarios like we saw last night. Real time, what would you do in this scenario, coach? You're calling a timeout? You're not calling a timeout, right? Maybe let them play a little Madden, see if they can really figure some things out, because we certainly see some bad coaching decisions throughout the league. It makes you wonder what these guys really know at sometimes, right? So how about a mental skills challenge for the coaches?
I think that's good. Set them up with Madden with like 1.5 minutes left, right? You're at the 3-yard line. Let's say you're at the 3 with 40 seconds left. The time is spinning. Do you clock it? Like things like that, right?
Absolutely. Stupid things like that. Do in real time without somebody in their headsets. Right. Let's see who really knows what's going on.
No way a coach okay, would be able good. To figure out a controller for Madden. No way.
That's true. No yes. Way. Way too many buttons. Well, what was the Atari game on this? Yeah, no, there was one button and a little joystick. All right, Brian, what's your improvement?
Yeah, I hope we have some input on this. It's funny. I was thinking a couple different things. I would like to see, you know, they do sometimes the QB accuracy stuff. I would like, if you're going to do that, I feel like you got to bring back some of the retired QBs in this. I mean, that would make sense, right? You bring back Peyton, you bring back Eli, you bring back Romo. That could be fun in terms of That'd that type fun. Of competition. Yeah. They always used to do the long distance throw, which they kind of got rid of. I would like to see potentially like a long distance throw, trying to throw it out of the stadium or something like that. But you have fans interacting with them, right? So the fan, maybe you have to hit a fan target, like really far away up and
yeah, or up celebrity into the fan or something. Right,
so like,
yeah,
it's kind of like good. A home run hitting derby in terms of like, you know, the fans get to interact with you. And I also would love to see, I know they've done some kicking stuff before, but definitely with the, I feel like you could really do some kicking or punting competitions with either hitting targets or you just shrink the goalposts, the width of the goalposts so much, you just keep doing it until you get some type
like
of winner.
I like that idea.
That would be fun.
Yeah, kind of like the Papa Shot game where the basket moves right, and stuff. I mean, that shouldn't be too hard to figure out.
I like definitely do some stuff with that, for sure.
Brian, I like anything for distance, anything that shows who's the strongest, anything that shows who can move whatever the furthest. In fact, I added cheerleading competition. Who gets tossed the highest? Oh. Now, is this dangerous? Of course it is. But yeah, why not? Why not measure for high? You know, basically like the high jump. But we see which cheerleader. I mean, that'd be great. What's the risk?
If they break their neck, are you being sued? You being sued?
No, that's all Omaha. Yeah, I think I don't think I'm tied in. Spaghetti, you're sitting there you're very patiently with a tuna on your head. What do you like for a change?
That they have to just play a full regular game with tuna on their head, no helmets. That's the change.
I like that. See, he's in the spirit. Harry, we haven't gotten to you yet. What do you
maybe
like?
Maybe if they're really serious about skills competition in the contest, maybe like ABC did in the 1780s, like Battle of the Network Stars. You get points for each category, 40-yard dash, another one where there's a wild maze. You got a running, monkey bars, jumping skills, barrels to climb through it, and it's all timed, and then you get points for each category.
Well, but that, no, but the Superstars competition was athletes, right? Battle of the Network Stars was...
I mean,
the Superstars had all that.
Bring that back.
Parlay kid, you had like Ronaldo Nehemiah would scale the wall without using the rope.
Not even grab the rope, right?
Yeah. Right. Stuff like that was always fun. Yeah. Babyface, you want to weigh in?
Well, offensive linemen are big on pancakes. That's what they get measured in. So I feel like a offensive lineman pancake eating contest. I would definitely watch that. AFC, NFC tug of war. I feel like that's a no-brainer. Yeah. And then you'd have to have a loser leave town match. Two quarterbacks or two players that are thinking of retiring. They battle out in a competition. They retire right there on the spot. Loser leave town.
I like that a lot. How about which player could figure out how to turn off Joel's echo in the background when he speaks? That would be good. I mean, that to me, send that guy to Canton. He's a Hall of Famer right away. All right, let's take another break, and then we'll really get into Aaron Judge talk.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we're back. Major League Baseball. Parlay Kid, the Yankees have 10 games left.
Nine,
right. I was in every luxury box last night had the Yankees on. Everyone I saw at Giants Cowboys had the Yankees on. Really, really big news here. I don't know. American League home run record. big news. Again, I don't understand. Alonzo, not even American League, but like the Yankee home run record. I guess it's the American League too. But Alonzo broke the Mets RBI record. Judge now on Caesars minus 130 to win the Triple Crown. What's he, a point ahead?
Yeah, point ahead.
Bogarts and Arias?
Yep.
Yeah. And I jumped on plus 450 just to be a jerk. To not get to 62, it's now plus 400. There's a chance, Parley Kid. Games left, 33 plate appearances. He'll get walked to 12 of those at least. So he's got to hit two in 19.
Yeah,
I mean,
look, some people with the Blue Jays last night, they walked Aaron Judge to load the bases last night with the first and second situation. You know, Blue Jays still have something to play for. So I really think it just depends on who they're playing. Like, really, the rest of the way after this, right? I think they have the Orioles, who, you know, I guess
still are alive, a thread.
Maybe not by then, though, right?
Not by then, right? So, and then I think they end with the Rangers, who have nothing to play for. Judge should see plenty of pitches there. I don't know. I think... what was Mikey Meatball's number? 64? I mean,
64. You think it gets that high?
You can get to that. I don't know. Let's face it. I do think once he gets to, say, 62, say he hits two, the Yankees are definitely resting him a little bit, right? At that point?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. When do you arrest this guy? No, Bri? He doesn't rest?
No, they may. I mean, just one game. I mean, at most, he's getting one game now.
Maybe pinch hit him and rest him for two games. Pinch hit him in the games, too, maybe.
He gets a rest every other at bat.
I mean, the Triple Crown will be interesting, right? Like, if he's up, if he's and up guys, by a few points, it makes sense. Maybe if he's down,
I could be I wrong. Yeah. And, like, maybe somebody maybe Joel or Michael can look this up. I don't know. Am I reading this wrong? Am I only seeing eight games left? Even though that would make 161, like did the Yankees lose the game in there that they might not have to make up or something like that?
Well, no. How many do they? Three against the Rangers, three against the Orioles, two more against Toronto? Is that what it is?
They don't play Thursday, it seems like, right? Friday, right. Saturday, ends, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is six.
So they'll play 161,
is
you think?
Is that possible?
I don't know. I thought I added it up.
Rangers,
I don't know
is
if this helps you here.
Okay, they got a doubleheader against the Rangers.
Right, you got a doubleheader.
That makes sense.
I don't know if this matters to any of you. Shohei Ohtani, currently top five in the American League in home runs, RBI, slugging percentage, OPS, total bases, wins ERA strikeouts, and Ks per nine, number one in baseball in that category.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Top five.
Man, JJ was killing you for that the other night, Sal. Killing you for that.
he's killing me.
If that's the case, you just give it to Ohtani every year, though.
Yes, until another guy comes around and pitches and gets 13 wins a year, until somebody else is doing something like, all right, I'm not going to give it to Judge. It's fine. He's going to win the Triple Crown, so give it to him. Let's give our pick of the day. I'm sitting on the Diamondbacks plus 194 against the Astros. I just don't think – now, the Astros haven't officially – clinch the one seed in American League. They're like seven games up on the Yankees with 9 or 10 left, so it's not official. So if I can get 2-1 odds on some of these games where Dusty Baker might pull back a little bit, I'm going to do it. Zach Davies is good enough for the Diamondbacks. Plus 194. That's my pick. Brother Bri, what are you going with?
Yeah, I was going with the Rangers plus 1.5. I was just trying to figure out the latest. Hold on one sec. Just the latest odds on those. Plus 1.5 at minus.
This is big. People are really hanging on this.
This
Rangers pick.
Minus 125. It's funny. I was going to take the Braves, but I just don't trust betting against the Nationals anymore. But the Mariners are limping into the playoffs, right? They're 3-7 in their last 10. They lost Robbie Ray's last three starts. But when I look at the numbers, as an away underdog on the run line, the Rangers are 39-18 this year. As a home favorite, the Mariners on the run line, 14-27. So that that spells right now is the Rangers plus 1.5 at minus 125. It's going to likely be a bullpen game for them tonight, but that's fine. I'll go against Harry's boy, Robbie Ray.
All right. Harry, what do you like?
Plus 125, two-team California parlay. The Giants at minus 190. The Angels at minus 210. San Fran's won 6 of the last 7. Rocky starter Marquez has an ERA of over 5. And Darren, our guy, Logan Webb, on the 21st of September, beat Colorado 6-1, so I expect him to do it again. And I'm taking, like I said, Angels minus 210. Trout in September is batting 308. He's got 9 homers, 19 RBIs. On Sunday, he had 2 doubles and a home run. And starting pitcher Patrick Sandoval, 9 straight starts for the Angels. 9 straight starts, 2 earned runs or less. And in 2 starts against the A's this year, 14 innings with just 2 earned runs. Give me the Angels at minus 210. Giants minus 190. Pays plus 125.
All right. Speaking of Trout, I'm staring at spaghetti here, and I'm thinking we should have picked a slimier fish than tuna. I know the big tuna was a connection, but should have picked like a mackerel or an eel or something. How you holding up, spaghetti?
I keep forgetting I'm wearing it because I'm sitting very still. Really? But good news.
It doesn't smell at all? It doesn't smell?
My hands smell like fish, but I'm used to it. I grew up fishing. I'm one with fish. But I think good news is that I think I can convince Jada to take a video of her eating this fish that was on my head.
Really? That'd be great. Fantastic. Is she around?
No, she's out of work and she's paying the bills. So I'm bouncing.
Do that. Yes. I mean, if this doesn't pay the bills, I don't know what will. Yeah, that'll be great. That'll go viral.
Eddie, your posture is fantastic.
It really is. Video game I really chair. Feel like
that's why I'm very upright.
Yeah, you could. Military. I mean, oh no, you can get a job as a male model out of this. The way you walk, you know, right? If your posture, if you kick that into gear a little bit. All right, who did I hit? Oh, Pauly Kid. Okay, here comes Pauly Kid's Mets pick, where he says a lot of terrible things about my team.
Sal, would you call this a very important game for the Mets right here?
Yeah, they all are.
I like the fact that I'm getting plus money at the Mets minus 105. They got Carlos Carrasco on the mound, who I've hit with several times this year. He's 15-6. Been pitching pretty well as of late. Pablo Lopez on the mound for the Marlins. Mets, just a few starts ago, maybe a week or two ago, beat him up. I think he scored about 8 runs in 2 innings against him. So they have his number. Mm-hmm. Mets need this. This means absolutely nothing to the Marlins. The fact that I can get plus 105 at minus 1.5 on the run line for the Mets, I'm taking it, Sal. The Mets need to win. They need to hold off the Braves. People aren't talking about this NL East race enough, I feel like. I feel like it's kind of going unnoticed. Does it mean would people really not care about winning the division? It's a pretty big thing, I think. So...
Well, I think no matter what, they should definitely talk about it a lot starting Friday. No matter what, that's going to be a big series against the Braves. Right now, I need to get to a point where the Mets are one ahead, which they are now, and they only have to win 1 out of the 3. And then I know there's games next week, too, but they take that tiebreaker over the Braves. Yep. So that's what I'm hoping for crying out loud. It's Washington. And whose pick was it, Washington, to underwins? Brian, was that you or Darren?
My pick.
One of you guys at the All-Star break. That was you, right?
Yeah, that was Darren. 58.5.
Well, they're 53. They're 53-100, so they have to go. What'd you say? 58.5?
6-6.
Oh, you're good.
They're not going 6-3. They're not going 6-3.
They have the Braves right now, right?
Yeah, they're not going 6-3. They have the.
Can I bring up one thing about Major League Baseball too, and some odds? I find this very interesting. Yeah,
they have the Braves and the Phillies.
Cy Young odds, National League. You guys can look it up. As I saw as of yesterday, that right on the Braves is like 50-1. I saw this. He's got 20 wins.
Yeah.
Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah, right. I looked at
that,
too.
In baseball this year.
I looked at that, too.
I mean, his ERA is not spectacular, but his numbers are still solid enough. Alcantara of the Marlins. His numbers are—they're good, but
he's a massive favorite. I think his last 3 starts favorite. Or so,
that he does put not him, make sense to me.
I know,
Darren. This makes two National Leagues in a row anymore. After last year when Scherzer was 250-300 and he didn't even come close winning.
Right? Why are they deciding it now? Right? Too. I mean, Kyle, the guy's got these 20 and You're five. Right. Nobody and, wins and 20 games anymore.
I
don't know.
I might Defending be wrong champ. About this, but I think like the last 10 years, probably three guys have had 20 wins, right? And just or right, maybe so I'm wrong about it. Maybe it's every other win.
If that's Kershaw, Kershaw's minus 20,000 to win it.
Thank you. This makes no sense. Yeah. Like you said, he's on one of the top teams in baseball. Like it doesn't. Uh-huh. It's very strange to me. He's pitching in much more high pressurized situations than the Miami kid. At 50-1, just again, Harry, we talked about this last year with the Cy Young odds. Mm-hmm. Now it makes no sense to me. Yeah,
what's up? It's the National League. What's up with it?
I love crazy. This.
20 wins.
I love it because Spaghetti. If you haven't figured out, we're filibustering here. We don't really give a crap about Kyle, right? But we just want more time. Oh, you do. Okay, well, let's talk about it then. Well,
you got to be consistent these days. Head. You win 20 games. That's like winning 30.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago.
It's a lot.
Yep.
Come on.
It's a lot.
Give it to him.
Yeah. 20 out of 100 for sure. Well, yeah, I agree. All right.
Maybe I have money on it, too. Maybe that's my problem.
Oh, that's it. It all comes out. All right. There you go. Hats off. Tune is off to Spaghetti. Like you said, good job keeping that on your head. You're a man of your word. But, boy, a lot of harsh words, though, I'll say. It was more on the text chain with Hench and Damashek. It's where I think you got – You went crazy. And then Hench ends up sending the last 20 texts.
I don't think you're going crazy. You're citing like total yardage, like it mattered. Like, you know, remember that?
Yeah,
remember
because that you said the Giants have moved the ball pretty well. You said the Giants have moved the ball pretty easily. I said, well, they only have 112. Like, what do the numbers matter or not?
You mean yards to me don't. I mean, it's like, oh, remember that Philly special with Nick Foles Super Bowl? It's like, well, they didn't really win it because Tom Brady threw 500 yards. Like, it doesn't matter to me. At that point of the game, it was the first half. Like, it was still in it. But whatever, we'll see. Round two is coming up. Hopefully, when you guys are fully healthy with Dak back, we will not be fully healthy, and that victory will be so much sweeter.
Here's my favorite though, Spaghetti. Wink will blitz the shit out of Cooper, frickin' rush next half.
And he did, and it cost him.
and then the Cowboys end up with the most pressures of all time.
Cowboys have an offensive line of undrafted free agents and just 40-year-old guys and. You know, aside from Zach Martin, that's what they, you know, and the first round pick this year on a kid that took a lot of criticism. Giants is trying to really build that offensive line using first round picks. And boy, oh boy, what they got slaughtered last night, those young studs, those young bucks.
Who was that right tackle?
Evan Neal. I mean, Andrew Thomas is fine, but Evan Neal had a really rough game.
It was Neal.
And the rest of their picks were not, for, you know, they didn't draft those guys. The interior offensive line is atrocious.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. All right, so Eddie Spaghetti, he's got only 1 hour left with a tune on his head, probably maybe for the rest of your life, right? Do you think you'll do this outside of podcasts on your own?
We got a lot of shows today. We got Waiver Wired, Megan from Sports. Maybe I'll just leave it on for them, too.
Do it on all
What kind of shampoo does Eddie use? Well, that's what people need to know.
I don't want an Old Spice right now.
Is that what it is?
If Eddie goes bald after this, that's really going to suck, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, Parlay Kid, just want to let you know, Buck and Aikman now 2-1 games decided by single digits on Monday night. Just keeping track.
Harry, you have a chance to run away from this very, very stupid theory. No matter what I want to say about the Cowboys, that was a boring game with teams who were really not going anywhere. But okay. But you saw that as a great competitive contest that people tuned into at droves. I mean, really, Harry, this is honestly, this is Scott Gagnon-esque, this whole thing.
Okay.
You're still sticking with
2-1 in games decided by double digits when Aikman and Buck do games. That's all.
I know you could. Right. Listen, you could say when the temperature's 73 degrees, it's up about it. There are some things called coincidences. And I don't know, Harry. Maybe you should have the tune on your head. I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess. There's no other explanation. All right. There you go. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. Anything else, baby face? Did we miss anything? Spaghetti's a good sport.
Sal stretching it out.
No, it's just I do think Cooper Rush now in play to win most wins by a backup bet. Who would have thought?
True.
Well, it's going to be Jimmy G, right? It has to be Jimmy G.
Not after last week. No, I don't know.
What's Cooper Rush for MVP, Darren?
Seven more. I just said that. Right, I couldn't find him on the list. Oh, God. All right. There you go. That's it for Against All Odds. Harry doesn't show up for the last 5 minutes of the podcast versus yesterday. That's it for Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.